Very special edition of Top Turnbuckle today on Sportsnet590.ca. Rudy Blair and myself were joined by a very special guest. Now, Rudy Blair is a Hall of Famer and Humber College Hall of Famer.
Humber College Hall of Famer. And don't forget the DVD World Champion, since I am not in just one, but two DVDs, including, of course, Edge's DVD, so, and a Torontonian, so, yeah, that makes me the champ.
I think we have a guest who's been in more DVDs than you, Rudy.
Okay, yeah, okay, I will give this to her, all right? Only because she's just a wonderful person.
We have Trish Stratus on the line. Trish, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for the smattering of applause.
Trish, you know you deserve this. Look, as we're talking to you, where are you right now as we speak?
I'm in Toronto, and I'm kind of been back and forth lately. It's been very busy lately. Whenever WWE gives you a call and then you come back into the world, you get very busy once again.
Where were you when you got the call that you were going into the Hall of Fame?
I was at home. I was at home. It was we were finishing off 2012, and I got some very exciting news, that knowing that my 2013 was going to be very exciting.
Now, talk about, you know, the honor of going into the Hall of Fame. You sort of started out in the wrestling business, hosting a wrestling show that, unfortunately, we can't name, but you were co-hosting with Sportsnet's own Jeff Merrick.
Yep.
On the Fan 590. Did you ever think that you would transition from just talking about wrestling to actually being in WWE, let alone a Hall of Famer?
No, my goodness. I mean, it was a cool opportunity, you know, to be on the radio. Was, hey, I can get on the radio and talk about wrestling, which I love, with other people who love wrestling. How cool is that? And it was just a gig. It was just a cool gig. I mean, every single step of my career, I can't even believe how it's turned. It's sort of like, you know, a number of events sort of happened in order for that event to happen. So that was just, you know, I was actually, the first time I went on that show, there was this internet rumor swirling about that Trish Stratus had been spotted by Vince McMahon. She's some fitness model, and she'll be debuting soon. So, of course, here I am as a wrestling fan, and I'm reading this myself. I'm like, oh, my, I think they're talking about me. This is crazy. And so, of course, the first time I was on the radio show, was like, hey, so your WWE's calling you. Come on the show and talk about it. And I was like, well, they haven't called me, but can I still come on the show and talk about it? You know, we just had such a blast, and they said, hey, you want to come on and host the show? And that's, you know, where I kind of started with the guys, and it was fun. I mean, we were, you know how it is. Wrestling fans, we'll do anything. Well, you know, we were talking wrestling at 1 a.m. just because it's cool and it was fun. So, and then, yeah, all these sort of things happened, and it happened right before their eyes. They saw it, and I was like, yeah, I got a call. And they saw me. I told them I was just starting to train. I thought, you know, let's prepare the best possible package just in case they call. And it was during that time that I started training. I went down to Sully's gym and trained with Ron Hutchison, who had trained Edge as well before that. And, you know, I was the only chick in the class. Went in there. He's like, there's only boys here. I'm like, cool. That's cool. I'm used to playing with the boys. And yeah, I would tell them all the stories. I'm like, I'd come in, host the radio show, have all these bumps and bruises, and I'd be covered in, you know, black and blue. And then it all worked out pretty nicely, I must say.
When you got the call from WWE, was the plan for you to come in just as a manager? Now, obviously, you did some training, but or was the plan for you to sort of transition from manager into an actual worker?
Well, I think if you think, like, back in the day, there wasn't exactly a women's division, right? Mm-hmm. There wasn't too much of a role for the woman in the ring. So I think naturally, yes, it would be come in and be a manager. But, you know, JR was very, you know, straight up about it. He said, so just letting you know that the role of the woman, it can get physical. And, he, you know, it's funny because he's like, it can get physical. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I watch the product. He's like, you know, and sometimes there's, you know, things that happen and you got to be prepared for it and you got to know your way around the ring. So I said, oh, well, I've been training for about, you know, 4 or 5 months now. And he was like, oh, great. And I really believe that was like a little check mark on my on my resume, on my interview there. And so, you know, knowing I had that background, but I'll never forget, I went in there obviously as a valet and debuted with TNA, was a valet, was a manager, and that I knew the day was coming. There was going to be that day where they're like, okay, guess what? You're going to have that first match. And it was TNA and myself versus the Hardy Boys and Lita. And I remember I was so scared. I was like, oh, God, because it's very different out here, live and in the crowd. And, like, you know, it's very different. And so I was really scared, but had great support system. And we, you know, set up something that was just perfect, you know, a little chase and very, you know, your typical valet stuff. And it was great. And then, you know, I got to just, every time I went out there, I really just got to learn more and more. And I guess it was when I really started to get in there and practice on my own in the ring and get myself really familiar with, I mean, don't forget, I trained in a boxing ring. So it was very different than a wrestling ring. Mm-hmm. And, you know, very different, of course, live audience as well. So I always say that, I mean, everybody, there's many people know how to wrestle, but to be able to perform and do the sports entertainment side of things is a whole other thing. And the only way you can learn it is by doing it live and by doing it over and over again.
But Trish, you really helped kickstart that division because in a lot of ways, I mean, even though there were other women's champions, if you look at just that point, you were the kind of like the first champion in the way you want it. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I always say I always got lucky. Like, I mean, I got the perfect timing of everything. I mean, yes, there was no women's division at the time. If you recall, China was sort of the last women's champion, and she left the company with the title. So they just said, okay, well, there's no women's division. There's no women's title anymore. So it kind of just went away. It wasn't really spoken about for a few months. And then finally they said, yes, we're going to bring back the women's title. They had the six-pack challenge. They gathered up six of the best workers in their company, and we were all put out there. I obviously went in as the underdog. And, you know, of course, that's when I won the championship for the first time. And so I was quite aware that I had a heavy burden to bear. It was sort of like, here's the ball, and you must run with it now. And also I knew that they were actually saying, okay, well, yeah, we want to put some time into the women's division. We're going to develop it. So, you know, that's the time Finley was assigned to the girls. And, I mean, him and I became frickin' frack. I mean, every single week, I mean, from house shows to the beginning of Raw, we'd get in the ring and just wrestle around, and we would put ideas together. And even Lance Storm, I mean, he was in there as well. And there was a lot of guys, and they were really helpful and supportive of the women's division. But I mean, like I say, when I say I'm lucky, it's just because I was given that moment to like be able to try and, you know, shine. And then we were given storylines, and you know, it was obviously like go out there, and if you drop the ball, then okay, it probably would have gone away. And I'm very lucky that the women involved at the time, we had a lot of great workers, and I just made a point of really working very closely with the writers and making sure that we weren't just chicks out there. We were like characters, and you know, I think as a wrestling fan, I knew that what resonated with me was the characters of wrestling, and so I wanted to, like, this is something the girls never really had, were characters. So we really made a point of really developing each of us really specifically, and had different styles and different looks, and you know, hey, she wears purple. I mean, Ivory was the only one who wore purple. None of us wore purple. We respected that, and I think, you know, you look at nowadays, like, you know, the last few years with the girls wrestling, girls were wearing all the same colors and the same outfits and this and that, but you look back at our era, all of us had very distinct outfits and, you know, very distinct colors. And I think that's kind of what made us all stand apart and have different flavors, which, you know, I think really helped identify us.
I think one of the big problems right now with the women's division is they don't really get that, the length of time that you young ladies did. But when you were wrestling, though, who would you say was your favorite opponent and why?
That is such a hard question because, you know, I mean, I always say Lita, Amy, you know, because her and I were just this amazing parallel. Lita and I came in around the same time. We had the same expectations on what was going to happen. You know, that we were these new chicks to the world of wrestling, and really we were kind of like the new girls. I mean, and the focus was on us too. So it was kind of an interesting spot we were put in. But we were very, you know, opposite always. We were on opposite sides of the spectrum, and so that, you know, allowed us to, when we got in the ring, have these very diverse styles, and also from the fan perspective, offer the fans two very different characters. So from the very beginning to when I retired and had my final match with her, we always, I think, went in there, and the fans just got excited. They just knew that, like, oh, when these two get in there. I mean, I like to say we're a little Rock Austin-esque in our, you know, in our similarities and how we weren't alike, you know. But my favorite, you know, she was great because of that special thing, special bond that we had, the special chemistry we had. But I mean, I can't deny someone like, you know, Victoria and I, who I would say Victoria and I were the first ones who got in there, and we were the ones who took it over the hump, you know. I mean, we had the first chair shot to a woman. I'm like, how am I so proud of being smacked over the head with a chair? But I was, you know.
My goodness.
You know, our hardcore matches, I mean, that was, we were really, you know, kind of trying to raise the bar, and that transitioned into the matches and expectations that Jazz and I had after that. And then obviously Mickey and I had tremendous chemistry and amazing storylines. I mean, I think our storyline was probably the most storyline driven, the most character driven, right up until, like, of course, our WrestleMania 22, which was my last WrestleMania. And her and I just, I mean, the crowd was so into our story, and that was, people were just, I mean, I remember we came back out and the guys were there and just being like, wow. I mean, it was a pretty awesome match on the card, and considering we were women, we were really proud of that. So it's hard for me to pick one because they all kind of, everyone sort of had a special, you know, everyone along the way has been so integral to forming my career as a whole.
Now, you know, you're going over the matches with the women, which were fantastic, and I think that's absolutely a fair assessment of you and Lita being sort of the Rock and Austin of the women's division. But you didn't only mix it up with women. I mean, talk about sort of working with, you know, guys like the Dudley Boys being put through a table and sort of taking it up to that level, because we'd never seen a woman take bumps from the men before until, you know, you sort of came around.
Well, I know, I tell you, it goes back to me being in this gym with, like, all guys, and he's like, so we're going to work with only guys. I have no girls here. And I'm like, no, that's cool. Like, and I grew up as a tomboy. My cousins were, how I got into wrestling. My cousins, I have two boy cousins, and, you know, we were, that's how I got into wrestling. I was one of the boys. I played with them. We watched wrestling. We went to wrestling. And so I was just always a tomboy. That's just the way I was. And so, you know, when we were ready to, they would kind of say to me, like, so how do you feel about this? I'm like, let's do it. Let's bring it on, you know. And I mean, I really feel, I mean, listen, I was open-minded. I was excited to do things. Of course, my powerbomb through the table with Bubba was an awesome moment for me, because I think that, you know, I can't even tell you, it was like such a weird thing. We were like, did it hurt? I'm like, I don't know. All I know is I was very exhilarated after that. It was the strangest thing. I was like, oh, that kind of felt good in a weird way. I don't know if that sounds weird. But, you know, I think that showed the fans that I was willing to put my body on the line, and, you know, kind of it solidified me as, okay, she's serious. She's here to play, you know? And I think a lot of the things I look back and these opportunities I got to work with the guys, really, that's something maybe to the women of today are lacking. I mean, obviously it's PG era, so you don't get to see that, but there's certainly no way. I mean, how much sympathy can you get when this, you know, 7-foot monster chokes seemingly you in the middle of the ring? I mean, it was a tremendous way to build our characters for sure, and allow us to build, you know, our personas as well. So I think that was lacking a little bit in the women, but I was totally up for it. I mean, you name it, I was, let's do it. I mean, I took stink faces, and I was like, bring it on, let's do it, you know? So I was very open mind to that, because that's how I roll.
But you decided to leave while you were still on top. Why was that important?
You know, it's funny how, I mean, I was 30 when I retired, and it was something that I kind of said. I mean, you know, you go in there, I was 24 when I started, and it was sort of like saying, you know, I don't want to be like, hey, she looks good for her age, you know? I just kind of felt like that was the right age to be doing what I was doing out there. But also just, it just felt like, I was just, the right steps had been taken in my career. I mean, I worked with every opponent I wanted to work with. I was very lucky to have a lot of programs, right? So I went from, you know, from Jazz to Victoria to Mickey to Lita. And I was very lucky in that regard. I got to, there really wasn't anyone when I left that I was like, oh, shoot, wait, I want to get her in there too. I worked the program with everybody, and even the guys as well at that point. I mean, I had worked with John Cena in the ring and Edge and, you know, you name it. So I was very lucky in that regard. But my mom was also sick. I don't know if many people know that, but my mom was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma at the time. And it was, you know, after being on the road for, it was almost, you know, 7 years at that point, and you're just away from a lot of stuff. I mean, I missed a lot of weddings and a lot of my, you know, babies being born and birthday parties. And the worst thing was when I went with my mom, and they said, well, you're going to start the chemotherapy. And I thought, well, how can I not be there for my mom and take her to these things? And number one thing that started the whole thought process was my contract was up. So when they came up to me, they wanted to sign me for another 5 years. And that's when I was like, oh gosh, 5 years. Okay, let's think about that. And then it was like, okay, let's, looking back at my career, what have I done? And then with my mom getting sick, it was like, just, you know what? That was a sign. It's the right time. It's the right time to leave. And I've never regretted it. You know, I always felt like it was the right time. And it was, of course, a fantastic exit. And I haven't really looked back at that since.
Trish, and we're going to talk about all the things that you've done after wrestling, but one of the things I'm really curious about is how you were able to survive after wrestling, because when you hear the horror stories with what's going on with Sonny, so many other, not just female wrestlers, but wrestlers in whole, why do you think that you've been able to make that transition and, you know, everything's good, but for others, it hasn't always been that way?
Maybe because I'm not dependent on alcohol or pills. I don't know. I hate to say that's like a lot of the stories have gone that way. That's terrible to say. I just was smart about things. I mean, I knew that I was doing a career that was for the moment. It wasn't going to last forever. It's impossible. It's going to last forever. Not only, you know, when your body starts to go, like everything about it, this is not a career that will last forever and ever and ever. So I was very aware of that going in. I've always been a backup plan kind of gal. I mean, even when I was, I was studying biology, kinesiology, strategy. I mean, when school went on strike, right away, I thought, okay, well, what's happening here? And what if I can't get into med school this year? What do I do in the year in between? Like, I've just been always aware of, like, okay, let's be realistic of what's going to happen tomorrow and prepare for tomorrow. And then when, you know, I was very lucky through my career that the Canadian media embraced my success when I transitioned out, had a lot of opportunities, a lot of mainstream opportunities. Of course, I did a few TV shows and sort of, you know, I dabbled in some TV and decided that that's kind of something fun, but I didn't know if I necessarily wanted to land in TV. And then I opened my business. I mean, really, it was 2 years after I retired, I set out. And the first year, I kind of just did some TV, you know, relaxed a little bit, did a lot of family time. That was my main mission, was to stay home with my family and my friends and just to reconnect with everyone. Of course, then I thought of, okay, what's my next business venture? And that's when I opened up Stratosphere. You know, and everything I've done, I'm telling you, from wrestling, I mean, people say, how did you do that schedule of 300 days of the year traveling? And I said, well, I was passionate about it. I loved it. You know, that's the only way you're able to do that sort of schedule. That's ridiculous, you know. So I went back to one of my passions, which was yoga, that I developed after using it to heal. I had a herniated disc in wrestling, and that's how I found yoga, finished up my career with yoga as a big part of it. And so I pursued yoga. I thought, well, I got my certification, became a certified instructor, and then I just opened up my studio, and I have a roster of 15 amazing instructors, because it was one of those things. I knew yoga helped me in so many ways. It helped me with my jet lag. It helped me rehabilitate injury, and it helped me, you know, keep a nice yoga booty. So I wanted to share the yoga booty with the world, you know.
Yeah, not going to argue about that one.
Happy about that.
Yeah, extremely happy.
You're welcome. You're
but,
welcome.
But you still have other things that you're that's going on, too. You got to talk about it because, of course, there's a new Blu-ray that's out. And also, you're doing something, what, New Balance, too, correct?
Yeah. Well, the Blu-rays, I mean, you know, I did my first movie. That was, so like I said, I opened the yoga business. That was my main business. But I always, you know, wasn't just, okay, open a studio and stop. There's always, I don't ever stop. You got to always expand. You always got to think growing and thinking of the next step and evolving. So Stratosphere was my brand, and I continue to evolve the brand, which ended up like, you know, I ended up finally doing fitness videos. For years, you know, in the fitness industry, I got asked to do a ton of fitness videos, and just, it really wasn't my style. And it wasn't until Bounty Hunters, which the movie, I got an opportunity to do a movie. And, you know, another thing, like TV with movies, people, of course, when you retire from wrestling, people say, oh, are you going to do a movie now? And I don't know why that seems the natural transition, because I wouldn't say wrestlers are that great of actors overall, but I got that question a lot. And I always said, listen, I'm not actively pursuing anything, but if something cool landed on my desk, I would certainly consider it. And Bounty Hunters, and now, Rudy, you've seen the movie?
I saw the movie. I have the DVD.
Have you both seen the movie?
I haven't yet. I'm going to borrow it from Rudy, though.
No, he's not. I'm not giving him the movie. I'm keeping it. Remember, you autographed that one for me.
Well, listen, you can go get the Blu-ray now.
There you go.
Oh, perfect.
But so Bounty Hunters came in to me. Bounty Hunters, when I read the script, I'm like, oh my God, this is Trish Stratus. I mean, Jules Taylor is the character, and it's this ass-kicking bounty hunter, and basically that's what I was, and I mean, it completely was me. And so, you know, the writer knew me. I mean, he was a fan of me from wrestling, so when he wrote with me, he said he wrote this movie with me in mind. And I gotta be honest, I mean, he said he was such a fan that he got my mannerisms, he got my jokes, he got everything about me. And so seeing it, and then the fact that he's like, would you be willing to do your own stunts? So I was like, come on. So when I was able to do that, and I really, you know, be an architect to my fight scenes, oh my God, it was a great opportunity. So doing that was fantastic. That was released last year. And now, yes, that the Blu-ray has just come out last week. And, you know, it's got, of course, the extras. And I actually talk about the architecture of a fight scene. It's pretty cool. And so it's got a lot of really good extras and do commentary throughout. So that's kind of cool. But it's an awesome movie. I mean, it's the fight scenes are, I mean, let me be honest. There's some moments when I watch the movie and I say, maybe this is a B movie. But the fight scenes are unbelievable. And I mean, I worked with a guy who, you know, did some stuff with the 300 movie. So he's awesome. And he understood too. And just like in wrestling, he said, like, these characters, every character has to have their own identity and their fight style. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, I know all about that. So he made sure every, you know, character stayed true to their fight style. So that was really cool. And then you can see that the fight scenes are pretty epic. So that was an awesome project that came out. And then, you know, and like I said, when I say I continue to grow the brand, I try to align myself with partners that just are doing the same thing I'm doing, spreading the same message I'm doing with, you know, leading a healthy, balanced lifestyle, And New Balance is my the newest partner that I've aligned with, and I'm actually in their minimus shoe campaign, which can be seen in sport tech stores across Canada. So they're awesome, and they're just we work a lot together, and we develop a lot of things, and I'm helping in a lot of developing some of their products and stuff like that. So I like to be hands on, and as long as the partner is cool with me being hands on, then that's a partner that I like to be aligned with.
And just so smart the way you brand yourself and all of your other ventures. You know, Trish, looking back at your wrestling career, is there one moment that really stands out as sort of your favorite moment, be it WrestleMania in Toronto or any of the returns? Is there one particular moment that stands out above anything else?
One return that was really, I don't know, just felt really epic was when I had injured my back, and so I was away, but I believe it or not, I actually left as champion, and they kind of just left the belt on me, which was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, Victoria and Candice and Tori had been taking over as the heels, and Ashley had come on. She was the Diva Search winner, and she and I made a surprise comeback, and it was a lot of fun to come back. Surprise comebacks are always fun. Sometimes they're not surprises because you're like, oh yeah, Trish is definitely going to come. But that was one surprise comeback that was a lot of fun. Because I, you know, was off for so long, and it, for me, it was a big victorious comeback because I really didn't know, you know, when I was faced with the herniated disc, I was literally faced with, okay, having surgery, or you may not be able to go back because it wasn't healing. So coming back and being, you know, fully healed after just doing yoga, and that comeback to me was a big thing for me, and it actually just kickstarted. I mean, I left as a really hated heel, and I came back, and they loved me. So mm-hmm. it's fun to come back when they like totally turn and they're excited to have you back, which means they're excited to have the character back, right? Mm-hmm. And there was another surprise where I guess I had been retired for 2 years now, and John Cena was looking for a mystery partner in Toronto. You guys recall that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. So they called me and they said, hey, we'd love for you to come back. And, you know, I'd been called a number of times before that. Every time they came to Toronto, I got the call like, hey, do you want to come back? And I always said, if I come back, it has to be, there has to be something really great to come back to. I mean, I don't want to just be that retired person who comes back like all the time. And, you know, they would say, oh, but then you can do the stage or the backstage thing. And I'm like, well, yeah, you know what? And I would just pass. And then of course, this time they're like, well, we have this awesome spot. It's going to be the main event. And you're, you know, tag teaming with John Cena and you'll be fighting Beth Phoenix. I'm like, oh my God, perfect. Yeah. Love it. Love the, and it was 2 years after I retired. And nobody really expected me to come. So I had kind of been just completely off the radar for people. And John Cena had to find a surprise partner, and I came down, and the crowd, it was a really great response, and that was a lot of fun, and especially I got a chance to work with Beth finally, and you know, Beth and I had started to work a little bit, and that's, I don't know if you can recall, but she had broken her jaw, or Victoria, mm-hmm. rather, broke her jaw, so I never got a chance to work with her, so she's one person, you know, as you do retire, and you start to watch all these other girls develop, that's when you go, oh, wow, these girls are good, and I'd love to have gotten in the ring with them, so, you know, Beth is one that I certainly always looked at and thought I'd love to get in the ring with her one day, and then I got, you know, had that chance plus another chance to work with her. So I'm glad I got that. And yeah, so that was, so surprises are always fun to come back to.
Now we talked about, you know, all the returns, the highs of your career. My question now is, did you ever think that you would be tag teaming with Snooki?
No. No, that was definitely no. Who would ever think that, right? I remember getting that call. Never mind. I was doing Tough Enough at the time.
Yeah.
This is what I mean. When they call you, suddenly it's open. Like, they can use you for anything now. You're available. You know, here's my soul back, you guys. Let's do this. But I was working on Tough Enough, so I was shooting out in Los Angeles, and I get the call, and they said, so how do you feel about coming back and working at WrestleMania? And I was like, and of course, you're going, okay, working like how? Because I haven't worked in a couple years. Let's just make sure. And then I said, well, what's the deal? They're like, well, and he said, you can't say anything, but we've got Snooki. And the first thing I said is, okay, well, am I going to be your partner or am I against her? I just needed to know that part. Because I don't know if I was like waiting for a one-on-one match with you and Snooki. I'd be like, no, I don't think that's going to work. So I told her she's going to be my partner. And actually, you know what? I thought it was a great, great way to come back. She actually was a lot of fun to work with.
Really?
Yeah, she's a great gal, and we still keep in touch here and there. And she was so excited. I mean, I've never, you know, someone, she, you know, Jersey Shore was pretty big at that time, and
yep.
They were blown up, right? And I'll never forget, she just looked like a kid. She was standing in the arena. She's like, this whole place will be filled with people? And we're like, yeah. She's like, wow, like blown away by it, right? And it was awesome. It's kind of cool to see someone, because you take for granted sometimes what you do. You're like, yeah, this is pretty awesome what I do. When I get in the ring and you look around and there's potentially 60,000 people at, you know, WrestleMania, there was 60,000 people that year. And the coolest thing ever was I remember saying to her, okay, like, and she was totally up for doing anything. I said, so what do you do? Like, can you do anything athletic? Like, do you, you know, have you done anything before? She goes, well, I was a cheerleader and I was a gymnast. I'm like, perfect. Mm. So I was like, oh, yeah, had my Snookies trick up my sleeve, which was like, don't worry, I don't want you to even think about doing anything else. Just do this little thing at the right moment. And of course, there was the back triple round off thing she did, that, which was pretty awesome. And it was like, you know, for 65,000 people to be booing you, right, as the good guys, mm-hmm. her and I were the good guys, 65,000 people, she gets tagged in, they're booing her. And then I kind of looked at her, she gives me the, should I do it? I'm like, yeah, do the thing, go. And she's triple, you know, did the triple Lindy backflip thing she did. And the crowd was like, boo, okay, yeah, that's cool. All right, we're fine, we'll accept you. You know, I said, you just turned 65,000 people. Pretty cool.
Awesome.
So that was a lot of fun, actually.
Well, the thing that's really a lot of fun that's going to happen is, of course, the induction, and just getting your thoughts on all the people that you're going to be inducted with, including the living legend, somebody who we never thought, who deserved it to be in. You're going to be with him in this class, Bruno Sammartino.
I know. I can't believe it. You know, what? That's part of the, when I got told, first of all, when I got told the first time, they're like, we would like to induct you this year into the Hall of Fame. And I was like, oh, like, I almost felt like, isn't it too soon? Like, and then I was like, oh yeah, no, I've been retired for 7 years, but it feels like I just wrestled yesterday. And then they told me the class, and I was like, oh my God, I'm absolutely honored to be in such a, like, high caliber of talent. I mean, this is like a champion filled class. It's mm-hmm. insane. Like, you know, and then, well, yeah, when we finally got the word about Bruno, I mean, I always said, I said, they asked me for a quote, WWE.com had said, you know, what do you think about Bruno being in? And I said, well, it's like Wayne Gretzky not being in the Hockey Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. You know, this just had to happen. And so for it to happen this year is huge, and it's kind of cool because all the inductees, we all have a special connection to Madison Square Garden, which is neat. You know, like Mick and Donald Trump, obviously they're from Madison Square, or from New York, and Bob Backlund, he became champion for the first time, and him along with Bruno, I mean, they sold out how many shows at mm-hmm. Madison Square Garden, performed there for years. And for me, that was I had my last Raw match there at Madison Square Garden as well, mm-hmm. 7 years ago. So it'll be kind of cool to return there and be like, hey, remember me? Remember we did this 7 years ago? So I'm excited. It's just a stellar class, and I'm going to be like awestruck by just meeting everyone as well. So, I mean, I've never met Bruno before, so it'll be cool to meet him. And who knows? I mean, now we're waiting to hear who's inducting everybody. So that's going to be a whole nother level of excitement as well.
So you don't know who's going to be putting you in the Hall of Fame yet?
We've tossed around some ideas.
Mm-hmm. Any hints?
Well, if you go on Twitter, you'll see that I've been hearing everyone from Fit Finley to Lita. A lot of people think Lita would be the right choice. Mm. A lot of people think Stephanie McMahon would be the right choice. I've heard a lot of Fit Finley. People think that would be kind of an honor to have, you know, him induct me. But, you know, so we have some ideas tossing back and forth, and you'll have to tune in April 6th to find out.
Well, of course, we do have WrestleMania that's going to be coming up right after the induction. And got to ask you, because everybody's been, you know, trying to figure out who's going to win between The Rock and John Cena, I want to get your thoughts. Who do you think is going to win the big one?
Well, I'm thinking it would be very good that John Cena gets his win back.
Wow. How do you see that?
I don't see it happening. I just think it's very, very good to happen. I mean, I don't know. If, like, you know, I mean, John has to win. He has to. I mean, it's, you know what I mean? But I don't know. I don't see The Rock losing either. So that's kind of fun for, you know, for the first time in a long time to go into a match and not know, like, you know, I mean, I knew Rock and Cena, I mean, sorry, Punk. I knew that Rock and Punk, everyone knew Punk's going to lose and
yeah.
Cena, or Rock's going to go on to face, you know, WrestleMania. And so you kind of knew that was going to happen. And then often I think nowadays, maybe we're just smart marks, I don't know, mm-hmm. but, you know, we know what's going to happen a lot of the time. So it's kind of fun now thinking, I think, and, you know, yes, John Cena on paper should get his win back this time around. And I think maybe that should have been a 1 year in a making, you know, thing that he gets his, you know, win back a year later. But I really can't see The Rock losing, so I don't know.
And
then I'll throw it out there, though. What are you guys predicting?
Oh, geez. I think Cena's going to win. I think it makes the most sense.
No, absolutely. Yeah. I think Cena's going to take it.
Trish, just one final question. You know, Raw is going old school tonight. It's in Buffalo, which isn't far. Are we going to see you on TV tonight?
You know, it is only an hour and a half away.
Interesting.
You have to tune in tonight, I guess, won't you?
Interesting. Trish, thanks so much for doing this. Again, congrats on getting the call to go into the WWE Hall of Fame, which I think is the biggest class that they've ever done as far as the talent level goes. Thanks so much for taking the time out of your day to speak with us.
And Trish, don't forget in that acceptance speech, RUDYBLAIR. Just add that in there.
Yeah, throw it as Twitter, too.
Throw the Twitter as well. I'll try to do all that, I promise.
Thanks, Trish.
Thanks, guys.